gospel reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. These are the words of Scripture. We begin the liturgy this morning with powerful words from Isaiah: "Arise, shine, for your light has come." And the psalmist is on the same track: "May the kings of Tarshish, Sheba, and Seba bring gifts." Now, Matthew's gospel tells us of wise men, often called kings, and also called magi. And magi is the plural for priestly astrologers. We don't know how many there were, but we're told they brought three gifts. Now, there's a tradition that names them as Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And they came from somewhere out east: Iran, Iraq, China, somewhere out there. What we do know about them is that they were inquisitive. They were searchers. In today's world, they would be investigative reporters, perhaps reporters for the Inquirer. Individuals curious about life and what the future might bring. They were brave men. They were not afraid of what they might discover. They probably knew the prophecy of Balaam, which is in the book of Numbers, which is one of the five books of the Torah. I quote, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." End of quote. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament. And there's also some prophecies that were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which many of you had a chance to go see the exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And these were contained in two of them, one called the Damascus Document and the other called Testimonia. And these talked about a Masonic deliverer. So the Magi may have known of some of the prophecies in the Dead Sea Scrolls and also some of those that were in the Hebrew Testament. So these people were probing and bold, courageous, not just because of the dangers of travel at that time, but daring because they were willing to accept whatever and whoever they discovered in their inquiring journey. So on one side of the gospel, in this story, we have people who are puzzled about a star and they're seeking an answer. And on the other side of the gospel story, we have people who are not curious, but rather who are quite worried. Once the Magi ask about a newborn who is to have some sort of ruling authority and ruling power, the other group becomes anxious, more than upset, if you will. And as you already know from reading the gospel stories, murderous. Herod and his associates were scared. Herod was petrified because his supremacy could be questioned. The chief priests were distraught when they learned of a new threat to their power, and the scribes became nervous about losing their authority. Now, through regular history, we know that Herod was a ruthless king. He had gained power from Rome by currying their favor. He murdered his own wife, several sons, and also many relatives, all because he thought they might take his throne, a throne that he had only because of Rome's power. And those of you who watch the Smithsonian or National Geographic or History Channel know that he built many fortresses, and they were at Herodium, Machaerus, Sebaste, Masada, and Caesarea Maritima, and of course he maintained a fortress in Jerusalem. So when the wise men came to Herod and Herod's political friends, they recalled a prophecy from the prophet Micah, which was part of the gospel. Quote, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." End of quote. For Herod, who had already killed his own wife and several sons in order to remain in power, being told that a new ruler was coming was more than troubling to him. It was appalling. And if you recall, in the Old Testament, they talk about the Davidic line of succession for the rulers of Israel and kings. Herod was not of that line. The people disliked him, and Herod knew that the people disliked him. So, as we know from the story of his sending soldiers to kill infants, Herod was in a homicidal mood once he had learned of a possible breach of his power. But not just Herod. Also, his political and religious cronies were also frightened. Now, before the Magi came, Herod and his partners were contented. Change was not what they desired. Their secular power from Rome made them wealthy, and that gave them dominance over sacred also. So on one side, we have their brutal power, and on the opposite side, we have the infant Jesus with the power of a shepherd. If we look at the book of Micah carefully in that prophecy, we find that one line says the new ruler would shepherd God's people. Herod, the scribes, and the priests knew of shepherding in the spiritual sense. There are a lot of passages in the Old Testament that talk about shepherding and what a shepherd is to do for his people. Here, for example, is only one of many, many passages in the Old Testament talking about shepherds. And this is from the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will feed them with good pasture. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed my sheep with justice." So the last thing that Herod and his priestly buddies wanted was justice. They knew that if there was justice, they'd be out of office, if not in jail, and Herod would be facing the death penalty. So a ruler who was going to be a just shepherd was a ruler to be feared. But consider what the Magi were seeking. They had only met the infant Jesus. And we, over 2,000 years later, have learned who they were seeking and have the ability to know and love the resurrected Christ. Through Jesus, we have, as Paul says, knowledge of our salvation. And we have, as Jesus told Peter, forgiveness for our sinful separations from God. So, where's the message? The message is not to be like Herod and his ilk. The word I wanted to use all of my life, ilk, and I finally had a chance to use it. So let us not be like Herod and his ilk, who were so comfortable in their lives that they were willing to do anything not to have their power disturbed. Rather, let us journey with the Magi as they caravan to Jesus. Let us unite with all the wise women and men over the centuries who seek paths that lead to God, whose journey take them to God. Let us be seekers also. Let's not be afraid like Herod and his buddies, for history has shown throughout history for 4,000 some years that no matter what people do to try to thwart the will of God, God will always win. We've seen that throughout history. We've seen that in the last 100 years. We've seen that in the last 50 years in all the wars that have occurred. God God's will always win out. God's plan is a winning plan. A theologian, Charles Moore, wrote this: "The incarnation opened heaven, for it was the revelation of the Word. But it also reconsecrated earth, for the Word made flesh and dwelt among us." A lay preacher by the name of Hans Nielsen Haig, in his autobiographical writings, wrote about his discovery one day. I quote, "Nothing in this world was worthy of any regard that my soul experienced something supernatural, divine, and blessed. And it is now nearly 20 years since the love of God visited me so abundantly. The Lord revealed to me this: you shall confess my name before the people, exhort them to repent, and seek me while I may be found, and call upon me while I am near, and touch their hearts that they may turn from darkness to light." What Hans Haig experienced is what the Magi experienced, and the shepherds and the apostles and the disciples and all of us followers since. The Lord is near, and we turn to the light of God. The Lord is near. We've just celebrated the incarnation. The Lord is near. We have light. We have seen the truth, the way. The Lord is near. But for Herod and his ilk, what they had was fear and murder and darkness.